Welcome to Big Talk for Breeders. My name is Michael Doherty, a show jumping breeder from the west of Ireland. And in each episode, I'll bring you a new interview with a successful sport horse breeder. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Now let's get started. This is episode number 39 with Belgian breeder and rider Werner Dierickx. In recent seasons, Werner's homebreds, most of whom carry the Toxandria prefix, have really been making their presence felt on the international show jumping scene. Think names like Tabasco de Toxandria, recent Nations Cup winner at Laval with Tom Watchman, L'Artiste de Toxandria, winner of the Madrid Longines Global Champions Tour with Yali Martinea, Medoc de Toxandria, Tim Gredley's European Championship horse, and Spanish Grand Prix horse, Nasa de Toxandria. In this episode, we discuss Werner's farming background and how he became involved in breeding, some of his past experiences educating horses for the police force in Belgium, as well as his experience working with and training some top young talents in some prominent Belgian sports stables. We discuss Werner's key foundation mares and what it is about them that he feels has made them so successful. Werner also takes us through the path with many of his flagship homebreds, what they were like as young horses, what his predictions were for their future, and how that has played out. And in particular, we go into a lot of detail with the fascinating story of Tabasco de Toxandria. As you'll hear from the interview, Werner's approach to his breeding program and his young horse production is quite focused on nature, feeling, giving the horses time, treating the horses as individuals. And this is an approach that has really paid off for Werner and his breeding program. Like me, I think many of you will appreciate the openness and honesty in which Werner discusses many of the stories and experiences and insights throughout his time in breeding and producing young horses. Werner is someone who really shies away from the spotlight. For him, the priority is spending his time in nature, spending time with his horses. It has taken me a year to get this interview with Werner, but it was well worth the wait. I first became aware of your breeding program when I was writing a breeding insights piece for the European Championships in Milan in 2023. When I looked down through all the pedigrees of all the horses and all the breeding details, there were only two breeders out of all the horses. There were only two breeders that had more than one breeding product entered to compete. One of them was Paul Schockemuller, one of the biggest breeders in the world with probably 1,000 foals a year. And the other one was you. And I thought, it's an incredible achievement to get one horse good enough to go to the Europeans, but to get two horses going to the same Europeans from what I understand is quite small foal numbers at the time, I thought, this is really interesting. So can you give me a little bit of background into how your breeding program started first? Like, when did you start breeding, and I guess why did you start breeding?
Yes, okay. Yeah, it's a long story, but I will try to keep it not so long. So first of all, I'm a farmer son. My father was a farmer. We had milking cows, so we had about 35 or 40 cows. So every day when I was a little kid, I helped with the cows, milking the cows and doing all that. So my first, because we had a field, I received a little pony of my father, but it was a really shit pony. You know how it goes. It was, a Shetlander, the Shetlander.
Yeah.
In the field, I want to go left, he goes right, blah, 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 that. So I grew up in a farm, so my father, we had not that much money, so he bought for me really cheap ponies. They were not brave, but I was a little bit motivated, so I could ride them a little bit, and then he sell them, and I get some money, and a new one, and blah, blah, blah. So it all started with me, with riding. So, okay, but then it was just a hobby, I was not really interested in doing the business or breeding or something like that. We had only had cows, and it was like that. But okay, then I was, until 15, 16, 17 years old, it was all the time hobby, with bad horses, doing radio shows. Yeah, it was really, was really a shit, no shit time, but I have to work really hard with the horses, okay? And that's at that time here in my neighborhood, people know, yeah, Werner is not the best rider, but he can motivate the horse and put on the other side on the fences and all that. So, and then, yeah, I started to ride a little bit for other people. Yeah, they asked, yeah, I have a horse, can you ride a little bit? So, yeah, it started like that, to ride a little bit for the people. Really, really bad horses, let us say that, with character, that when they stopped doing this. And but okay, I was motivated, and that was making a man who I am. And then at that time, about 18 years, I finished the high school. Yeah, what do I have to do? Yeah, I don't know. And then I had the opportunity to work for the police in Brussels. So at that time, I did my study for the being policeman, and I started doing there the education of the police horses. So that was my job. I did that for 6 years. That time, I also ride a little bit at horses at home and for other people a little bit like that. But at that time, I had no good horse, not interested in the breeding and all that. Okay, I don't have the money. And but at the age of 22, I bought, I think, a Cadine de Boulanger. That's other. Yeah, she was really cheap. I think I bought her for 300 or 400 euros at that time. Yeah, it's 30 years ago, something like that. I think for 300 euros from an old man. So I started riding her. She was really, really good. She had really character, but yeah, on the fences, she was really doing her best and all that. And I did then the, yeah, in Belgium, they call it the Cycle Classique. Yeah. I ride 5, 6 years. She was always clear. And then at the age of 7 years old, I did the Belgian Championships. Okay, she was in the final. In the final, I had one down because she didn't have the scoop. She had one down with her belly, not with the legs, but we can saw it on the videos. It was really with the belly, you know, because she didn't have the scoop. But yeah, she really fights for me. And at that moment, I had some clients. And okay, the vet came, and the vet says, yeah, I never see that. And the vet log behind, yeah, in the stable, she was always kicking, and there was really arthrosis on that leg. I said, normally this mare has to be on three legs because he has to be lame like that. Yeah, and I was really doing shows with her. So, okay, at that time, I decided to put her in the breeding, and yeah, we will see what it comes. So it started with that, with Catherine de Boulanger, and then in the other line from L'Artiste Toxandria, I worked together with Karel Sebrechts. We bought the mare. Van der Zelm, the Kashmir mare, Donatella van der Zelm. Was a little bit the story. She was so powerful, but yeah, such a bad mouth. And I said to my partner at that time, do you know what? Maybe it's better to breed one foal, and then she will be maybe more relaxed and all that. And then, yeah, she had a baby, but okay, we start riding her, and she was so difficult in mouth. And we said, okay, it's better to put her also in the breeding. So, and then that's how it started with the two lines from Cadine de Boulanger and and the mother of L'Artiste. Okay, with the mother of L'Artiste, Donatella van Zelm. I worked then together with the partner, Karel Sebrechts. But yeah, I think about 7 or 8 years ago, we decided to go each his own way. So he had the mother, he had the mother of L'Artiste, but I said, okay, if you have the mother, I also want some mare. So I have two half sisters of L'Artiste, Genèse de Toxandre, who are working the Two Stars Grand Prix, and another one, a young one, she's now 7 years old, Corona de Toxandre. It's a Cornet Oblinski, but it was a little bit the same same story. Okay, she had a foal from Leandro when she was four, and I started riding her. She has a lot of quality, but so difficult. So she's also now in the breeding program. So, and that's it. So, yeah, how it started a little bit. Okay, and then from Cadine, yeah, okay, I had some foals. The Centolano, I have a Cicero, and then the Corrigan, where the Medoc is out. So, yeah, I started a little bit my breeding program, and but at that time I don't have big money, so yeah, I choose really cheap stallions. So, but at the end, yeah, you see, it have to start somewhere, and yeah, I really liked it. And Why I also started is okay. I was then also riding for other people. I finished with being policeman, so I start riding for the stables. Yeah, from Patrick Spitz, the Dwerg Sahara. I ride for Quintelier van de Tonkhoeve. I ride for Van Roosbroek. I was riding also in that years for Van Hecke. So yeah, I was riding good horses at that time also, young horses but good horses. So yeah, I knew already for to have good horses that they are really expensive. So I don't have the opportunity to buy young good horses. So that's why I started breeding because I thought I have really good mares. They were difficult, but I think they have the quality and they were really good in head. So that's why I started breeding. So that's yeah. That's the story. Okay, and then also my father died 15 years ago. So at that time, I took the farm here, and yeah, all the co cows were away. So I put my horses, and I have the fields. So that's why I stopped breeding. Yeah, but at that time, I bred two or three or four foals in a year. Really not many. So yeah, it's really exceptional that in my first years of breeding that the horses were on the top level. Okay, from the other thing, you must be lucky that your horses comes on the good riders also. Eh? You can have a good horse, but yeah, it's not only a good horse, but it must be only a good rider, and the rider rides on the big levels. Eh? You can sell a really good horse on an amateur who's riding 110. Yeah, then you're never gonna hear something about your horse, eh, you know? So, yeah, that's a little bit how it started. Yes.
The strike rate is really, really impressive. Even if your numbers were big, it's impressive the horses that you've bred, but your numbers were so small and what the horses have achieved is really impressive. A lot of your most famous horses at the moment, a lot of them, I know L'Artiste goes back to the Cashmere mare that you mentioned with your previous breeding partner, but most of the others all go back to that same mare that you began with. In your opinion, because when you bought her, as you said, she didn't cost a lot of money. You got an opportunity to buy her cheap. At that point, she was not from a famous
Nothing.
family, not from a famous pedigree. Why do you think that she has gone on to create such an exceptional family?
Yeah, that's really easy. Yeah? To have good horses for me, it's easy. You need a for the mare. The mother must be really hard on the ground, really hard, really sound, really willing to fight for you. She also, yeah, in the stables, when you open the door, always the ears behind, and you have to be careful that she was not kicking you out of the stable. But when I say, hey, then she came, and when I was sitting on, she see your fences, yeah, you feel, oh, she want to fight for you. And yeah, and that was for me really important. I really felt something. Okay, I didn't know that she gonna give, yeah, like that, all that she has given now. But yeah, for me, that's the most important, that you feel something when you sit on it, that yeah, you feel quality. For me, it's easier that you have a quality mare in doing the 130 classes to breed good horses than out of a mare that doing the 160 classes and has not the quality. I believe, okay, that's my opinion. I believe really that in the breeding mare, when you see them as young horses or let them jump and you see the quality that she can give. But there are breeding mares doing the 160 classes, or they won one time or two times on 160 class. But a lot of them are made, you know what I mean? Okay,
Yes.
when you see them as young horses, they can jump, yeah, 150 in freedom, but with long legs, not enough blood, blah, blah, blah. And so they are a little bit made, you know? And for me, okay, you can also have a really good horse out of that mare, but I think for me, it's better not to have the 160 mare with not so much quality, but the 130 of the 140 mare is winning, and you feel that she's fighting for you, she's hard, and all that. And that I felt about that mare, and yeah, that's why I started breeding with her. Okay, and also from the other thing, yeah, I was not possible to sell her, so yeah, so she was in the field, and I
Yeah.
started a little bit breeding. That also, okay, with a horse with a fetlock like that behind, yeah, okay, you can sell her for 500 euros, but okay, I ride her for 4 years, and for me, she was so, yeah, in the course, so always fighting. So I really liked her, and that's when I say, okay, you can be in the field and start breeding. Yes.
And the way you described Kadeen with the vet was concerned. He had never seen the problem like that you mentioned with the arthritis. But you said she was never lame. Like she was obviously really, really, really tough,
Yes.
and obviously had, as well as tough in her body, it sounded like she was very tough in her mind too.
Yeah, correctly. But that's for the sport, is that what you need? Right? Top sport, you have need a good horse, but you also need a horse that wants to go, being in the red, because yeah, top
Yes.
sport is being in the red. So when that is in the mother, it's really good. And yeah, and that she really had, even on three legs, she tried to do, 120 classes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was her character, and that she gives also to her kids, to all the kids. Yes.
That was exactly my next question that I was wondering, because if you felt that that's what has made them successful, because like you mentioned, your stallion choice, especially in the earlier years, you mentioned that it was more based on price at the time.
Yes.
And some of the stallions that you've used, they went on to be more successful, but at the time that you used them, they were not commercial or popular, or most of them were not that well
No.
used. But yet, from a variety of different stallions and yeah, quite a mix, that line continues to give not just good horses, but kind of exceptional horses that are doing some exceptional things. And that's what I was curious if you really saw her traits coming through in the, because now I guess you're 3 and 4 generations further on.
Yes.
If you still see those traits coming through, is what I was wondering.
Yes, okay, really, I see that. You can ask to my friends. I have the Santolana, the mother of Tabasco, is there.
Yeah.
I have a sister out of her. And the oldest out of Cadine is Corrigan. Yeah, you see that already in the field. They are the three bosses in the field. Now they are with 10 mothers in the field. Yeah, and they are really the boss. And the Santolana also, she's now 14 years. Yeah, I can't catch her. Even after 14 years, I came in the field, and yeah, the years are going behind. And yeah, I really see that in all the horses. The character of Kadin really goes further in my line. Okay, and it's not so easy when they're young because, yeah, it's not so easy to catch ill or when they come inside when you're 3 years old. Yeah, I have 2 months to put the halter on us. So it's really difficult. But they all have one thing: when you're sit-on-ing and you ride to a fences, yeah, they want to jump, and that's what I really like. And when they have the quality, yeah, then you go further. Okay, they have the quality, and then you go further. Yeah? So, but yeah, I really felt I have still three breeding mares out of Kadin, and I really felt, yeah, that they have the same the character, and yeah, and they are really hard, and that's, yeah, I felt that she really gives the heart on the ground and the willing to go to the fences. And when you sit on them, they really want to be good for you. And that's important. Okay, they can be really difficult in the flat work, but yeah, on the fences, they really want to be good for you. And that's what I like. And that was Kadin also. Yes.
When I was reading about your breeding program, it sounded like your approach to how you raise your young horses and how you keep your farm is really focused on a natural system and keeping things simple. And yeah, it seems to be quite focused around nature. And what's interesting, as you describe Kadeen, what she passes on, the characteristics that you feel have made them successful, I couldn't help but think if we take it back to the wild, the characteristics that would make her succeed and her family succeed in terms of their dominance and their survival are those same characteristics.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. Like you said, really like being in the nature. All my horses, yeah, they are really okay. The first year, the foals, when they came off the mare, they are in the stable, but for the rest, they are all year outside in the big fields. They are the breeding mares, and they are a lot of time together. But then you really can see who are the bosses and who are the things. But yeah, okay, it's not so easy, I know it, but yeah, I really nowadays I think that's the problem. They want the 1 years old, and you see that they have to do already things that my horse have to do on the age of 4 years old. So I think when you do that already with a foal of 1 years old, or going to auctions and all that, when they are 4 or 5 years old or 6 years old, then they are already not motivated anymore. So that's why I like the nature, and let their being child in the field, let them play, and then you can see, that one, he's dangerous, but I really like that one because he had character. And so that's why I like the nature, and you can see, and it's the same with the human beings. Let a child be a child. And nowadays, you see that also on the show jumpings. Last weekend I was with my son. He's 10 now. Okay, he's just playing. He's not a good rider, but just playing. But then you see kids with the parents in the warming up, blah blah blah, yelling, doing this, and then they go blah blah blah. And then I think, oh my God, the world is going being crazy. Hey, they are giving so much pressure on their children. And then I think, they're just children from 9, 10, 11 years old. If they are motivated, what do they have to do when they're 22 or 23 and when the life started? So, and that's why I try to do the same with my horses. Just let them in the field, let them play. Even in the winter when it's min 10 degrees and raining, they will be hard of that. So, that's why I think also that my horses is on the big level, because when they are young, just let them play, and then they can be maybe motivated on an older age. Yes.
Yeah. And I think what's a challenge, and it's a conversation I've had with some friends around these, when we talk about the characteristics of the top horses and however the blood and the toughness, the sharpness, the reactivity, that's all great. But then we as breeders, we're the ones that have to try and survive and try and work with these horses. And it's not always easy. Are there things that you do in your system when you do decide, okay, it's time for you to start some education? And are there things that maybe you do a little bit differently, or how do you approach working with horses that have such strong characters, or so sensitive, or so reactive? How do you approach that to keep yourself safe and them safe?
Yeah, for me, there are two things. I'm a breeder, but for me, I know with breeding, the program is really, you have to be lucky. But then, like you said, they are 3, 4 years old and they came inside. Okay. But then I'm lucky, I can do everything by myself. Everything, I make them saddle broken, I start riding and doing all by myself. So, but when you're a normal breeder, you can't do that. You have to ask to a rider, to ride your horse, doing this, doing that, then it costs a lot of money. I do everything by myself. I breed them, I make them saddle broke. Okay, I have some help here, but and being safe, that's what I do for 20 for 30 years. So and when you know that they have really character, for me, when I felt that they are good enough, then I have no problem. I can be patient for 3, 4, or 5 years. I can wait, but I have to feel something. With Tabasco also, he was so, he was so crazy. He was really, for me, it was 3 months. He came out of the field, and then he was 3 months in the stable. And after 3 months, I can put on a normal weigh-in halter on after 3 months. So, but yeah, for to make him saddle broken, I have to be really patient. But like I said, when I was sitting on him, he was so brave. He didn't do anything wrong. And that's, all the character of the Cadine. When you sit on them, they are so brave. So, I make them saddle broken, and then I do a few jumps, and then I feel, okay, this can be a really good one. Blah, blah, blah. And so it started. Just feel it. I can explain it why, but I feel it. And then when I feel something, in the horse. I really believe in him. And then I said, yeah, when it's in it, okay, they must be healthy and all that. But then I think they can be, yeah, on the top level. Yeah.
I read that, and from what you're saying, you're not motivated to do things in a hurry. You're not really motivated to be in auctions or competitions, and it seems like your focus is more on the horse's
Being healthy.
ex yeah, and their expression.
Yeah.
Could you explain to me, because that's something that I had read, where you were talking about their expression or their look or their outlook was more of a priority for you. Can you explain that, like, for people listening?
That's not easy to explain. Huh?
I know.
I have a I my girlfriend say, also say, yeah, but you see that already. I said, yeah, how it comes, I don't know. Yeah, it's just you go in the field and I see something. Hey, look that eye. And I said, yeah, okay, yeah. I don't know how it comes. I a really stupid thing. And now it's time for the breeding. So 3 days ago, all my mares, now I have something behind that. It phones to me. I wake up at 3 in the night. I said, I have to go. Out of my bed, and my girlfriend, but how are you going? And go to the field. Yeah, and there was a foal born. That's really strange, but yeah, you can't explain that. Yeah, I don't have. Yeah, I have to. They needed that eye or that eye. No, can't explain. It's just a feeling that I have. Yeah, just a feeling. Yes.
When you first started to ride Tabasco, even though it sounds like he had a lot of quality and he was not an easy horse, you were fully convinced that he was going to be special, and that you even, I think, said to friends that this is a horse that we're going to see on TV.
Yes.
Why?
Why? Okay. Tabasco, like I said, the father was Thunder, but at that time I didn't have much money, so I bred him together with a friend of mine, Dries de la Rue, because he had some more money than me, so he paid the semen of Thunder, and then yeah, he jumped one time in Freedom, Tabasco, I think. And then I saw already something, but it was not exceptional. And then, yeah, like I said, he came in the stable, but when he opened the door, he was always in his corner. He never came in and looked at me, and there was never connection with him. There was no connection. And I directly said, that's an autist.
Yeah.
You don't have connection with him. So then he was, when I put him in the paddocks, yeah, I had no chance to catch him. One time I go in the paddock, he jumped out. So every time of every day, I have to make a couloir. Then he goes in Freedom. He walks in Freedom in his stable, and then he was happy. And then I start riding him. And after 1 month, we did a little jump on the side. And after one jump, I think Dries was here. I said, this horse is going to be on television. He said, why? I said, yeah. I ride a lot of young horses. I ride Valentina van Hekke, when
Yeah.
she was young, from the Donker Utopia, you know.
Utopia, yeah.
I also did with young horses, and so I ride a lot of young horses with quality. And I never felt something with the first jump like with Tabasco. I said, this is gonna be on television. And my friend, yeah, you're crazy, blah blah blah. I said, no. I said, this one, I felt something, and he's only. If everything goes right, I said, okay, when he has an accident or something, but he has the quality to be a champion. And at the end, yeah, I was right. Huh? Yeah.
But I guess when you made that statement so early, and I'm not sure how many people you said that to, or was
Not
it just your
me,
one friend?
my
Yeah.
friend.
Okay. But it was nice that you were even involved in so much of his earlier years. It wasn't just that you were
No.
selling an impressive 3-year-old or 4-year-old. It was great that you even got to take him to the Young Horse World Championships and like ride there and make the final yourself. You did really, really well. It was nice that you got to be involved in those early years so much. But even the story around that and, all the interest and the way that things came full circle, with the likes of Kian O'Connor had tried him and it didn't work, and then how the story went. And like you've told some of this publicly, so would you mind just giving a little bit of an overview on how that
How it goes.
how it went, and then because how it's all come back to in the end how it all came back to the same people, really.
Yeah, okay. I will tell you the whole story. Like I said, he was 4 years old. It was crazy. Yeah, okay. So, 4 years old, we did a few shows, training shows. But okay, even from his first training shows on another ground, yeah, he was doing like he has done, 10 times. So we did. I'm 4 years old. We do two training shows, and I said to my friend, "Hey, you put him in the field." "Yes, okay." So we put him in the field, and then he was in the field, for 6 or 7 months. Okay, then he came inside, a little bit troubled, right? Him. On 5 years old, we did some shows, I think 5 or 6, all clears. Okay, and then there were already people interested, but I won't really want to buy him. I said, "Yeah, okay, but if you want to buy him, you have to pay him like a Grand Prix horse." Grand Prix horse? I said, "Yeah, because one day you're gonna do the Grand Prix." "Yeah, you're crazy." I said, "Yeah, I know I'm crazy, but..." So at that time there were already some people interested, but they said, "Yeah, he's crazy. I let him do it. It's a little breeder, blah blah blah." I said, "Okay." And then at that time, at 6 years old, then at 5 years old, going back to the field, and he came inside. I think about October, November, in the winter. I did two or three training shows, all clear. So, and then the season of 6 years old started. I did here in the regional shows, three regional shows. And at that time, here, I was qualified for the Belgium Championship, 6 years old in Gef, in Belgium. Because, there, here in the regional show, I was on the second place. So I was qualified. And at that time, also in the, his name is Dalton,
Ivan.
Ivan Dalton. Yeah. I win her, because my friend, he's a farrier. He was the farrier of Van Ivan. I have a client. I said, "Yeah, okay, but he's really, but he's a good rider. I know him really well." I said, "Okay, he can try him." So we went to the place of Ivan there, and it's really 5 minutes from here. I don't know, I don't remember the name of this rider. I really start riding, and he did two jumps. I said to my friend, to Dries, I said, "Uh-oh, no, it's finished. You're crazy." I said, "Yeah, he's finished. I doesn't like how he rides him. I put him off." "Oh, you're crazy." I said, "Hey, Ivan, it's finished." "Why?" "Yeah." I said, "Look how he rides my horse. It's my horse, and look how he rides him. It's not good." "Yeah, but..." I said, "Yeah, but you ask a lot of money." I said, "That's my problem, but it's my horse. So, sorry, but finished." So, Dries also, "Hey, you're crazy." I said, "Yeah, maybe I'm crazy, but yeah." So we put him off. So then we went to the Belgium Championships. There he was in the final. There I had one long distance. And I think in the final, I had one down in the jump off. I don't remember anymore. So at that time, Ludo Philipars was also interested, and he came to me. "Yeah, I want an option." I said, "No, I don't give to anybody an option." "How much is it?" I said, "Yeah, it's price of a Grand Prix horse." "What's the price of Grand Prix horse?" I said, "Yeah, 600,000." "Yeah, you're crazy." I said, "Yeah, no, but I don't want to sell at that moment." I said, "We want to keep him. We were happy, me with my friend, with the special horse, and really believed him. So for us, he could stay 1 or 2 years." So, okay, yeah. And then, Chef was finished. And then, for Milan Arcadan, then the World Championships. Okay, but for me, that's a really normal rider. It was not easy to go in Zangerschade, and I don't want to pay 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 thousand euros.
For table, yeah.
That was not for me. So, but at that time, I did also. I had a friend in Spain, and with Joel Russell, we did already some business together. And he was also riding a normal horse for me, and I knew that he was coming to Zangerschade. I said, "Hey, Joel, maybe I have an idea. For you, it's easy to go in to Zangerschade. You don't have to pay it." No. I said, "Yeah, maybe you come here." "Yes." So he was here at my place 1 week in advance for Zangerschade. So we went to Aasloof with the Tabasco. Okay, he did 5 or 6 jumps, and I see to Tabasco, there was something that I doesn't like. I don't know why, but and then I discussed with Joel. I said, okay, for him, maybe it's not fair going to the championships. You ride him one time, maybe you're stressed, he's stressed. Maybe that's not easy. I said, but can I phone to Zangerseide? You did already inscription that I can ride him. Oh, yeah, for sure. Why not? So I phoned to Zangerseide and I said, hey, Tabasco is in with Joel Russell, but yeah, I can't ride him. It's okay for you that I can ride him. And Zangerseide, yeah, for sure, for us it's not a problem. But yeah, phone to your own federation, it's okay. So I phoned to the federation, I explained it. Okay, yeah, for us you can ride. So I was in Zangerseide and I didn't have to pay a table or something like that. So it was really easy. Okay, we went there and really, Joel jumped him 6 days before, I think five jumps. And I said, yeah, okay, we go to Zangerseide. I didn't jump him anymore, no in single jump. So I said to Dries, yeah, we go there and we see how it wins. And then after the first day, yeah, then I was clear. And yeah, he jumped really, really amazing. I knew also that I jumped him when he was 5 years old one time with boots behind, and the reaction was so incredible. So in Zangerseide of the first day, we put the boots on. Yeah, and there I felt, yeah, Tabasco knew that he has to do something. Ah, I'm sorry, I forgot something. Yeah, after Ivan Dalton, because, yeah, that was with Ivan, I think that was at the end of the week of June, I think. Ivan tried him, but Ivan is an Irishman. And
yes.
He is also an Irishman. Another, I saw him and I said, yeah, I have connection with Kian. After Ivan, yeah, I have a connection with Kian O'Connor. Okay, when Kian tried him, yeah. So we had a phone call in the beginning of July. Yeah, I think the 5th or the 6th of July, we went to Jos Lansing. The place to Jos, and there Kian came. So, yeah, can you ride Tabasco? Yeah, yeah. I ride in Tabasco there. Yeah, yeah. And then Kian, yeah, can I go up? I said, yeah, but it's really difficult to get up. It's not so easy. Oh, yeah. So we put a little step behind, and Kian was on the side, and Tabasco was looking. And Kian said, no, I don't gonna do that. I said, yeah, I have maybe in 1 or 2 weeks, I have to ride the 5 stars. And now with a horse like that, I fell off. I said, yeah, I really understand it. But at that time, the rider of Jos,
Peter Clemens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me and names is really terrible. So Kian said, hey, Peter, you can go on. And he goes, yeah. And then Peter fell off and I have no rider anymore. Okay. But at the end, Peter, we went to the stables. Oh, it was difficult to get up. Peter did some jumps, and Peter, and Jos and Peter said, yeah, it's really, they really believed in him. But okay, we went home. So we never heard anything about Jos or Kian. We didn't hear anything. So, and then, yeah, then was the Belgium Championships in Genève, half of August. And then, yeah, in half of September, then started Zangerseide. So after the second day, I was also clear the second day, I was qualified. Stefan Conter phoned me. Ah, Werner, yeah. Yeah, I've heard here some people and they say that you have a nice horse. I said, yeah, it's possible. I think I have a nice horse. Yeah, it's not exceptional, but yeah, they say it's a nice horse. Yeah, what's the price? I said, yeah, the price for everybody is the same, it's 600. And then Stefan said, yeah, you're crazy for that price. I buy 2 or 3 Grand Prix horses. I said, yeah, okay, you can do it. You are not obligated to buy Tabasco for me. So, okay, I was then in the final. I was in the final on Sunday. I was clear. I was going out of the course. My phone was ringing. Yeah, Stefan, Werner, yeah. I want an option of Tabasco. I said, why? That was not good enough. You can buy 3 Grand Prix horses. No, I want an option. I said, okay, you have the first option. Yeah. Said, but first I'm going to ride the jump off. Okay, ride the jump off. It was clear, came out. My phone was ringing, everybody ringing. So Stefan came to me. I said, yeah, tomorrow at my place. Or I said, no. Say, Stefan, if you want to buy the horse, you have to try him now, not tomorrow, because tomorrow he goes in the field. I said, "Oh, you're crazy. I have no rider here." I said, "Yeah, I'm sorry, my friend. And you're crazy. It's such lots of money." I said, "Yeah, but my phone was ringing from all the world." So Stefan, yeah, I was also a little bit nervous, eh? You know, his phone was ringing and everybody. At the end, Kendra stepped on. He did 5 jumps. Yeah, and then yeah, everybody was around, was looking. Yeah, and Stefan has to do something. Yeah. So at that time, yeah, Stefan, he bought him for a little bit less than 600. Okay, it was 500. He bought him for 500. So at that place and at that time, yeah, it was a lot of money. But I was really lucky that there were so many people interested in Tabasco at that time. So Stefan has to do something. Hey, you know, he's also a big salesman. So at that time, I was lucky that everybody was phoning and ringing to me and blah, blah, blah. So,
did you tell him that he could only have 5 jumps?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was there in the warming up with Kendra. He did one vertical from 120, one vertical from 140, 2-time Oxer. And I said, "Yeah, okay, I think it's finished." "Oh, it's finished." I said, "Yeah, he did already. No. I said, "No, it's really finished." And then, yeah, okay, he was, I thought he was, yeah, okay, it's really a lot of money. Eh? And he didn't do no international shows, just a few, I think before Zangerzad, he did 10, 12 official shows. Eh? It was not more. Eh? So it was, yeah, it was really out of nothing that he was doing that. Eh? So, yeah. I said to him, "Yeah, if you want to buy him, it's now, it's not tomorrow." And then, yeah, okay, even then I came home at the evening, my friend, hey, okay, we're really happy, of course, a lot of money. And then, yeah, I really have some other phone calls. Yeah, if Stefan doesn't take him, if there's something wrong with the vet check, we really want him, blah, blah, blah. But okay, at the end, it was like that. Okay, Stefan bought him, but then Kian heard that Stefan bought Tabasco, I think on Monday, Tuesday, on Wednesday. I don't know. Eh? I must be on Wednesday. I must be there on Stefan for the vet check, I think, on Wednesday or two. I don't know. So, but at that time, Kian heard it that Stefan bought Tabasco. So, what I heard is that Kian phoned to Stefan, "Hey, can we do something together?" Mm-hmm. Because I tried him, but for me it was okay, but for to buy him at that moment all alone, he was too expensive. And for Jos Lansing, then he was, yeah, it was too much money for at that time, he said. But now, yeah, when I have the opportunity, I really want to buy him half part. So yeah, that's at that time Kian and Stefan had him together. That's what they told me. That's the story a little bit. Yes.
It's an incredible story, but what's also nice is that all the risks that everybody took paid off, the risks that you took paid off, but even the risks that they took paid off, because yes, buying a 6-year-old for that sort of money, like you said, no international experience before Zangerscheide, was a lot. The risks were high, but 3 years later, Tabasco was at one point the highest ranked 9-year-old in the world. And you know, himself and Kendra did some incredible things. And then he has gone on to be a super, super horse for Tom Watchman as well, as recently as the weekend, like winning the Nations Cup in Le Bal. It's really nice that it all worked out so well. But I think the whole story is interesting because it shows so many different things. It shows what's possible. It shows that even though he was difficult and quite special, and even Stefan was part of an event I did at the Dublin Horse Show last year, and I think he would still describe Tabasco in some similar ways to you did, that I don't think it ever got completely easy or normal. But it's just really interesting to hear the belief that you had. And I've lost track of how many times you've said people have told you were crazy. In the time that we've been talking, crazy is probably the word that has been used the most. But it shows the importance that if you really believe in something, that the importance to keep going with that.
Yeah. Okay. The thing is, you can believe in something, but like I said in the beginning with the Basque, I felt something. I really knew how he was fighting for me when I was sitting on him. And he came in the warming up. He was really like a normal horse. Huh? In warming up, you can fell over the fences and it was really normal. And he came in the course, the ears in the front, and he was telling me, come, where do I have to go? I want to do something. And that I really felt in him. And that, when I write the first training show, I really felt, yeah, you really have to do that. Horses have to, when they come in, you have to feel something. Okay, where? Yeah, that's with all sport, man. Eh? If you are a football player or a cyclist, or they have to do, when it has to happen, they have to feel it. And that's what Tabasco does. I mean, it's important. He knows it, and then he goes. And that I felt. Yeah, and that was really important for me.
Yeah, and like what you said earlier in the conversation, you had the opportunities to ride horses that went on to become really successful, to know what that felt like Valentina van Heike, I think E-Pleasure and Utopia van Donkova that you mentioned as well. And it's not that you were crazy and it was based on nothing. You had a reference point.
Yeah, that's for my 18 years, I'm only doing young horses and make them saddle broken, ride them and all that. So I don't say that I'm my best rider or doing, but I breed them, I make them saddle broken, I ride them in the courses. So I know everything. Eh? You can see a horse for, whoa, he's jumping amazing, and you go up and you don't have the feeling, you know?
Yeah.
So, but that I can do everything. And that's, I think that I have the chance to do that. That I can have also the good horse, because I felt something. Okay, I feel something, and I think it can be that. Yes.
And for me, what's nice is I know you were a rider first and then a breeder. It's you're both, but it's also nice for me to hear, and those that are going to listen to this conversation, to hear of the breeder actually getting paid. You know, like getting a really good payday, because that's something that doesn't happen as often as it should as well. So it's nice that you were involved to that point. You had ridden over the years, you've ridden for a number of different stables, like you've mentioned. What are the things that stand out to you the most in terms of your learnings from your time working with some of those bigger or successful yards that you feel have really helped in what you do?
The most important thing is the experience with young horses, huh? The experience, the feeling, and also, yeah, knowing a lot of people also. Huh? I worked in the yards and all that, so yeah, in that yard, you know a lot of people, and you listen, you hear something. In the other yard, you hear something different. I worked also for Maurice van Rosbroek. Huh? I worked also for him a couple of years, and other things. From everybody, you can learn something. Even now, when I'm jumping or riding with a young horse, my girlfriend is really amateur, but I really ask how it goes. How do you see it? It's really important to see the whole everything, not only riding, not only seeing on the side, everything. And that's the most important, I think, for to learn. Yes.
Was there anybody that you have worked for that has really shaped or influenced your approach? Like, is there anybody in particular that?
No, I can't really say no. Too much character, you maybe heard it, but I just go my own way. And okay, at that time, I ride for the stable, so I have to listen and all that. But here at my place, I do my own way, and I follow my own, also in my breeding, I follow my own things, and I do my own things, yeah. And for me, probably it worked out well. Eh? So, no, the thing is, when I'm riding with us from Maurice van Rosbroek, he gave me a lesson, I listen, eh? But I do my own things. It's not that, I believe in myself. I don't say I'm a good rider, but what I do in the horses, I think I can do good. So why don't believe in yourself then? Yes. Even in the breeding program, imagine I have to take the Amal, Canaan, blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, maybe it's possible, but I don't take him. Why not? Good stallions. Yeah, but they are not good for my breeding program. So I follow really my own thing. Even other people, yeah, I have to do this. No, I follow my own things and do my own things. I for me it works out. Let us say that. Yes.
Yeah. Do you ever think that successful breeders and successful horses have a lot in common?
Oh, maybe yes, because okay. The thing is, for me, I can speak for myself and for other people, I don't know, but yeah, I really have. Also, my family said that I have character and a different person. But I'm difficult, but also for me, I try to do good for other people. And also with horses, horses needs also character, but good character. Huh? Nowadays, they yeah, only the good horses with character, they win and they are going to be. Yeah, that's true, but they have to be, the character must be for good for you. When a top horse is against you have no chance. Huh? And that's everybody, yeah, but a brave horse never can be stopped. I said, no, that's not true. A brave horse can also be top sport, but there are a lot of character horses that are on the side because they have too much character. Huh? That you also have to keep in mind. There are a lot of horses with character that are doing top level, but that character works for the rider and they want to work for the rider, and then it's good. Huh? So, but it can be familiar that top horses and breeders have to do their own things and have a little bit character, yes.
And I think it's important that we as breeders hear conversations like this and hear about what successful horses were like when they were young, because if we only see them when they're 10, 11, 12, 13 with the best riders in the world, we don't learn as much from that. So I always like to know what the successful mares were like, what the successful horses were like as youngsters, and we've covered Tabasco in great detail. But could you give me just a little bit of insight into some of your other flagship horses, like L'Artiste, like Medoc, the one in Spain who I'm NASA. Just what were they like as young horses, and how long did you have them? Like, what ages were they when they left you?
Didn't you know the story about Medoc? No.
I've seen some of the story about Medoc, but not the other ones. Medoc, I also think is an interesting example.
Yeah, okay. He was he was 4 years old, but at that time I don't have money, and yeah, we did the X-rays, and the vet said, yeah, that horse never gonna be in the sport. I said, oh. So she said, yeah, he's gonna be lame in 2 or 3 years. I said, yeah, okay. Then my friend Dries, I'm looking for a horse in for to go some walks with my girlfriend. I said, here, I have one. He was 4 years old. After 1 month, he phoned me. Yeah, it's really nice horse, but it's not possible to get him in the gallop. He's so cold. I said, yeah, bring him back then. Okay, he came back and okay, I ride him here for 3 times, I think, and I jumped him, yeah, 70 centimeter, and I felt something. So. But yeah, at that time I don't have much money, so yeah, with the bad X-rays and all that, I was thinking, yeah, I phoned somebody for small money. We put him out for I think 4,000 or 3 or 4,000 euros. Horse with that X-rays was really good money, but in freedom, we let him freedom jump in freedom. It was really good, a little bit cold, but yeah. So I didn't hurt him for 2 or 3 years, and then he was 7 years old. And I saw him here on a regional show with Caroline de Laat, and he jumped really well. And then, yeah, the story was he was then from the Rook, I think. With the Rook, he was lame, or he had something in his tennis behind. And the Rook does some business with, I don't know. From a long story, he also sold him for a really, really small price. Yeah, and then after. Yeah, you know the story. And then he was 9 years old, and he was on the big show. So it was. I was really a bit surprised that he was doing that. But okay, I knew that he was really brave in it all the scoop, and he wants to be careful. So I didn't know he was bloody enough. But yeah, okay. At the end, it looks like he has blood enough, and like the vets say, he will be lame in 2 years. You're never gonna say that. A horse can be lame. So that's what I learned at that time. A vet can say what he says at this moment, but you're never gonna see in the future with a horse. Huh? At that moment, yeah, he's gonna be lame from that of that, but at the end, maybe he's gonna be lame from his back, from the big jumps, than from his legs. So that I learned with that horse. Okay, and then yeah, we have Nasa the Toxandra. She was a bloody horse, and the same story. We didn't do much shows, and then she was 7 years old. Yeah, and then here everybody said, "Yeah, she's really careful, but she's a nice 130 horse." But yeah, she's not scoopy enough. But at that time, I did also some business already with Joelle, and Joelle was going to the Sunshine Tour, and I said, "Joelle, here, take her with you." And there he was riding, yeah, in February, 7 years old. And there, yeah, he also had a connection with Armando Trapote, the husband from Teresa Blasquez, who's riding now. I, for a long story, there she was sold to Teresa Blasquez. I think for a speed horse for 140, but yeah, she's also a, such a yeah, such a mind. I also thought that she never gonna do the big show, big classes, the 150, 160 classes. But yeah, at the end, I see a lot of cadin in her. Yeah, even if you ride her to 2 meters, she can jump it, but she will try to do it. That's character, huh? So yeah, and that's you also see now in the things. And then yeah, the story of L'Artiste is yeah, he was also 4 years old. He was still stallion, and then. It's a Toulon, and then Luc Tilleman, the owner of the Toulon, saw me in on the original show, and he said, "Yeah, we have maybe I have some clients." We said, "Yeah, but we have some money." Okay, but they tried him and they bought him. He was 4 years old because I had them at that time together with my partner, so it was better to sell him. And I thought it was a good horse, a brave horse, but at that time I thought it's gonna be the biggest classes. But maybe always one down or two down. So I wasn't down if I was careful enough. That's why, okay, we had a lot of money at that time. And that's why we sold him also. Yes. That's a little bit three of the four story of the horse
Yeah,
going.
it is great because you can just see you can see the success and think that a lot of the time it's easy to think that when there's a horse like L'Artiste wins the LGCT Grand Prix of Madrid that you just and it's by Toulon. It is one that was by a maybe more commercial stallion, and you maybe th it's easy to think these top horses are always the obvious ones as the youngsters, and that's why I like to have these conversations and hear these stories because the Medoc that went to the European Championships, bad X-rays, the vet said was going to be unsound in 2 or 3 years. You said he was cold, and he has such a success with Tim Gredley and is now having success with Matt Sampson, and then with L'Artiste, you thought, okay, maybe not going to be careful enough, and goes to the Europeans, wins the Longines Global Champions Tour Grand Prix in Madrid, what, two, 3 weeks ago. And then Tabasco, who, okay, Tabasco you said was going to be on TV, but it didn't sound easy. And then he becomes one of the leading 9-year-olds in the whole world. So it's great to hear behind the scenes. With Medoc, how has it changed your approach? If there's a horse, for example, if you have a good feeling on a horse and there's maybe not such a good vet,
Okay,
how?
I know now. Yeah, I know what you want to say. For me, nowadays, the vets, I do a vet check when they're 4 years old. I only take from the legs the normal X-rays, 16 is something like that, I think. Okay, and when they have really a chip on a bad place or something like that, okay, I do here a little operation and we take them out. But for the rest, when I know they have a little cyst of doing this or do bab-up, yeah, I don't care anymore. Okay, now I'm also stronger. I have a little, I'm not rich, but I have a little bit more money. So I can keep them a little bit longer. Okay, and at the end, I can be wrong, but when I feel something when they're 4 years old and I know the bet rates are not so good, but I feel something, yeah, I start to work with them. And then when they're 5 or 6 years old, you can't sell them. You know that. Yeah, because when they are 5 or 6 years old, yeah, the X-rays are more important than the horse himself. Eh? We know that. But when they are 7 or 8 years old and they are really good, then, oh, hey, that's a good horse. Oh, that's a better horse. Then the big clients start seeing them, and then the X-rays are less important. Okay. Then when they are sounding hard on the ground, and that's then more important. At the end, okay, I can lost a lot of money also because I start riding him 2 or 3 years old, and at the end, when they are not good enough or too difficult, yeah, then You put 3 years' time in them, and you also can sell them for a small money. But that's the risk I take. I'm a hobby man. I really like to ride horses. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, it was my birthday. I'm getting 50 years old, and I'm still riding, yeah, six, seven young horses a day and make them saddle broken. I really like riding horses. So for me, it's not so. When I put 2 years, a little bit money and things in, yeah, I don't care. Okay, when I'm not riding and I have to put my horse on another address and I have to pay every month 1,000 euros. Yeah. 3 years later, it's already 40 or 45,000 euros. But that's my strength. And when I put a horse here in my boxes, it costs me, yeah, a little bit of hay, a little bit of straw, and I doesn't count my work. You know what I mean? And that makes me stronger. Even after 3 years, when he's not good enough, and I can sell a 7 years old for, yeah, 35 or 25,000. I don't win money, but I don't lose money. That's my strength, huh? You know what I mean? I can keep the horses longer because I can ride them a little bit by myself. Yes. And that strains now also my vision that the X-rays are important, but not the most important. When they are 4, 5, 6 years old, yeah, then whoa, the X-rays. But now also when I have somebody, I always first send the X-rays and then they can try a horse, but not first trying and then doing the vet. I always send the X-rays, and when they say the X-rays are good, then they can try a horse.
I think it's a great way to do it.
Because you know that your vet say it's okay, my vet say, oh no, that blah, blah. No. If I send my X-rays to your vet and your vet, when your vet already say, okay, it's not good, I will tell you a story. I had a 4 years old last year. So it was also from Spain. I asked, yeah, it was really quality, but really difficult. Also, her name is Quality that Alexandria. She is so much, so different. I fell off 10 times for the together saddle broken. They really are so off. But on the fence, unbelievable. But yeah, I don't know. I said, okay. I sold her for 15. Yeah, for me, prices, you can have the price. I don't care. I sold her for 15,000 euros. Oh, yeah, good. Can you send the X-rays? I said, yeah, I will send the X-rays. Yes. Yeah, for a few days later. Yeah, bad X-rays. Yeah, 4 or 5 remarks, not good enough. I said, yeah, okay. No problem. Then at that time, I was in Steffix Master last year. NASA was there with Teresa Blaskis and Armando. Hey, Armando, are we going to drink something? I said, hey, here, I have a horse maybe for you. I saw the video. Oh yeah, I really like the horse. What do you gonna ask? I said, yeah, 50,000 euros. He looked, Armando. Oh yeah, for that, okay, for me it's okay. Just send the X-rays to me to my vet. I said, oh no. Yeah, I sent the X-rays. A few days later, oh yeah, perfect X-rays. Thank you. After 2 days, all the business was done. That's X-rays, and that are vets. You know,
I don't.
they. When I have Wim Vermeire as vet, I don't know if you know him here in Belgium, but I really believe in my vet. When he says, Werner, okay, he has a little remarks, but he can live with that. I trust him, and that's it. Voila. And what other vets say, I don't care.
Yeah, because it's also at least what it does is you decide before you come that you're happy. It's not going to be, I really like the horse, but I want to change something on the price. So I'm going to use the veterinary to change the price. It removes that.
Yeah, also, but okay, there is also another story. It's better that you have a top horse with bad X-rays than to have a bad horse with top X-rays. Because the top horse with bad X-rays, you're gonna sell more expensive than the bad horse with the perfect X-rays. I sell, yeah, it's true. I had here a horse, a really normal, from another line, really normal horse, really the perfect X-rays. I just sold her, yeah, when 4 years, she was 4 years for 6,000 euros, you know, and she had the perfect X-rays. And I know NASA, also the story from NASA, the vet came here, oh no, oh, bad X-rays. Yeah, and then the other vet comes, another client. Yeah, perfect X. I went to, Bosdrijf. You know Bosdrijf in Belgium, the clinic? No, Bosdrijf.
No.
Bosdrijf, right? I said to the Charlotte Seifert, came here first, the vet here. Yeah, for me, it's not good enough. It's not sound enough. I said, yeah. So, okay, good. Another 2 weeks later, another client from Spain. Yeah, we like NASA. Okay. Yeah, but you have to go to Bosdrev. But I know Bosdrev, it's really, really poor. When you have to go to Bosdrev, yeah, you start shivering. So, I Bosdrev, and there the vet say, if every horse was sound like NASA, yeah, every horse would pass the vet check here. I said, yeah, I said it like that. And 2 days ago here, Charlotte Seifer came here and she was lame for, yeah. He said, yeah, I don't know why, but this horse is really, really good. And you see now she's 13 or 14 years. Yeah, and she's doing, yeah, the big class is never lame and hard. And that's our vet are. Eh? So for me, vets, I don't have a good relation with him.
Now that your breeding program is enjoying such success and you've gotten some good sales, has that changed how you pick your stallions a lot?
No, the thing is, I choose my stallions for my mares. I know my mares. I ride them. My young mares. I ride them. I know they are good in that, bad in that. So I choose the stallions for that. You can do two things when you want to sell young horses. Yeah, you have to take the Diamant de Semilly, Achako Blue, whatever. But I choose stallions that I like. That I think, okay, that can be a perfect match with my mare. That's also my thing. You can be a breeder, but I'm also a rider, so I ride my horses. I know, okay, they are maybe a little bit difficult in the mouth, maybe not scoopy enough. They are careful, not, you know. I can, that stallion, yeah. Now I have two Pegasus, I have already three Tigers from Maris Mulders. So I choose them like that. Okay, I have also a few Eldorados, two or three. They're really good. But yeah, nowadays it's. I took also young stallions at the moment, but also out of the good mares, you know.
Yes.
I also have a Schotfontein from Jos Lansing because yeah,
Valentina.
I know her, I know her. Yeah, and Shaco Blue done with. Yeah, and normally in the breeding, it can be a good stallion. I don't take it for the moment a young stallion with not motherline. I don't take it anymore. Eh? That's true. But I take young stallions, but I know with good motherline. Yes.
You've gotten to enjoy some incredible moments as a breeder, for example, the two horses
Yeah.
going to the Europeans, or even recently, like what we discussed with L'Artiste winning the LGCT Grand Prix in Madrid, Tabasco winning the Nations Cup, and before that, obviously, Tabasco having an incredible run of form, and even last year, jumping in Aachen, wasn't it, and
Yeah.
with Kendra, and there have been some, the horses have given you a lot of
Sorry.
incredible results and special days. Is there a particular result that gave you the most joy or satisfaction? Because there one day that really stands out to you so far.
Yeah, it was Rome last year. I was there with Dries. There was he won the Nations Cup in Rome. Yeah, and we were there, and that was really, really, yeah. I was also nervous. I'm more nervous when I'm on the side, when I'm riding back. It's really true there. And also the thing was, and that's really, I know Kendra a little bit. Because I know the stable manager, Christophe Sweeter, is a friend of mine. We work together with Van der Helle, and now stable manager by Steffex. So they arranged that we could be also in the stable, and then there we had a conversation with Kendra and Daniel was also there. So it was really, Stefan was there and his kids, and it was really nice. The evening it was really, we were close. You know what I mean? We also being part of it. Not really, I mean, you know what I mean? Eh? We,
Yeah, you got to feel it.
yeah, in the warming up, we were looking and yeah, and Kendra was then going in. Hey, success. Oh yeah, thank you. Eh? That's really nice also. You know what I mean? Okay, Maddox is also doing, and now sorry, Tabasco is also doing, but now I'm not connected anymore, you know? At
Yes.
that time, we were really connected. Okay, we also went to Aachen, but there we also on the side. Okay, it was really amazing. It was also, but we are warming up on the stables. I really like that being normal in the stables. See, my buddy, how are you? And that was in Rome together then with Dries. Yeah, that was a really, really amazing time. Yes, that was for me. Whoa. And that's okay. For going further, I have still a half brother of Tabasco, now 7 years old, Emir de to Toxandria, and an Eldorado. Is I think it can be also really, really good horse. I want to be maybe, if it's possible, co-owner, something like that. Yeah, to being close with them when they're doing the international or the big shows. Yeah, that's what I like. Or being there and saying, yeah, I'm not, yeah, he's half part of me. That's, I want to do something like that. Yeah.
And I think it's possible because you're already so close. It's not that you're dreaming about it with the foal, like he's already.
Yeah, he's 7 years old. Okay, did yeah 4 or 5 official shows. Yeah, and last week I went training in Oslo and we did the 140 class. Yeah, and 2 times clear in the 140. So, but the thing is, I write my training classes the same as my really the show classes. You know, so a horse doesn't know if you do the same, exactly the same. Yeah, it are the same fences, the same warming up. So for a horse, it's exactly the same. And that's why I do, because, yeah, for Emir, I also had a lot of phone calls. Yeah, from the other way, yeah, it's also a lot of money. I have to leave also a little bit. But okay, in Belgium, you know, also when you if you sell a one horse really expensive, you give a lot of to the government. Yeah? So that's also a thing. Eh? If you say, if you sell a horse for 500,000 euro and you have to give 100 to 150 to the government, yeah, I really hate it. So better to keep him a little bit longer and then we will see. Yeah,
Enjoy the experience.
exactly. And the thing is, he's really a friend of mine and he's so easy in everything. So yeah, we will see. Yes.
The question that I like to end each interview with is, what advice would you offer to a young breeder or to someone at the start of their breeding program?
My advice, the thing is, listen to everybody, but do your own thing and don't be blind to your own mare or mares. Like I said, I don't believe either a lot of mares doing the biggest shows in the world, but at the end, there are not so many good breeding mares. So follow your own thing and start with the with a good mare with the quality inside her. And yeah, when you feel really bloody, the eyes and the expression, and when you see them in the field running, and yeah, it's really stupid when sometimes I see a year jumping 1 year out of the field, and I think, wow, what a shit horse! But he jumped, it was the same with Tabasco, huh? Well, he was jumping out of the field, oh, fucking hell, shit horse! But how he jumped, it was amazing. So, you know what I mean? There must be something special, and yeah. Must be a feeling, yeah, advice, yeah. There are a lot of breeders, but yeah, follow your own thing and must be lucky also, I think. You must be lucky. I bought Cadine because she was really cheap, and yeah, I was also lucky. In life, you must be lucky, I always said, but I think your own luck, you also can do that by yourself. When you stay up every day, you say, yeah, I'm feeling bad. Yeah, then your life is going to be also like that. I also sometimes have bad luck, but then next day, okay. Yeah, yesterday was, and it's the same with my horses. Yesterday it was bad, but yeah, today I ride. Hey, do something good. Okay, I'm happy. And I think with breeding is a little bit the same, feeling good and feeling happy in life, being like that. Yes, being yourself, not to be what another person is. Be yourself, but that's not easy. Yeah? But I can say be yourself and also with the horses, do your own thing. Yes. I can say, yeah, a breeding mare has to be like that and like that, but I can show you a picture of Cadine and yeah, and then you think, oh my God. The same with the mother of Tabasco, right? When you see her, yeah, you think, is that the mother of Tabasco? She's so ugly, so fat, the leg, the back is like that, the legs like that. Yeah, follow your own thing.
If you enjoyed this episode or any of the previous episodes, why not send it to a friend or share it on your social media?